Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. In the course of my years working in this battle space, I have had the privilege of getting to know and coming to admire greatly our first guest. He is James Simpson. He says he's a freelance investigative journalist. He previously served in the White House Office of Management and Budget as a budget examiner, overseeing policies of the government, as well as the green eyeshade sort of work. He is the author of a terrific book, published, I'm pleased to say, by the Center for Security Policy Press, entitled The Red-Green Axis, Refugees, Immigration, and the Agenda to Erase America. We're going to talk a little bit about that agenda as it's moving forward, but before we get to that, I wanted to speak with Jim about a provocative and I think very timely piece that he's recently written on a blog site, bombthrowers.com, in which he talks about H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor to the President, and speaks specifically to a part of his background that has widely been misunderstood, misrepresented, perhaps. It's a great pleasure to have him back. Jim Simpson, welcome. Good to have you.
Hey, Frank. Great to be with you.
Well, let's start with the McMaster story. Your title for this piece is McMaster, Legend or Lie? Give us a little bit of background on who McMaster is, some of his military accomplishments, which are indisputable, and then perhaps what we've discovered might be a matter of false pretenses, perhaps.
Sure. Well, H.R. McMaster is currently a serving three-star general, and he is also President Trump's national security advisor. He made his bones at the battle of something called the Battle of 73 Easting in 1991 during the first Gulf War, where his tank company, in 23 minutes, his nine M1 Abrams tanks and 12 Bradley fighting vehicles destroyed 30 Iraqi tanks and 14 armored vehicles. That was in 23 minutes. He got the Silver Star for that action, and he's won a number of other medals like the Purple Heart, the Bronze Star, Legion of Merit. I don't doubt that his aggressive action and quick thinking won the day there, although that he was part of a much larger unit, which destroyed 85 tanks, 40 personnel carriers, and over 30 other vehicles. And his accomplishments stand out, but really they were part of what they were all experiencing because the M1 A1 tank was so vastly superior to the 50-year-old Iraqi T-55s and somewhat newer T-72 tanks that they were shooting against. And for example, the T-55s buried in berms, when they came over the berm to confront them, the T-55s had to back out before they could shoot. And in that time, the M1, they were just sitting ducks. So he does get credit for quick thinking and quick, bold action in that. But there were a lot of other tank operators who did the exact same thing, and they all just devastated the Iraqis at virtually at very little cost to themselves.
Well, so let's talk about the Battle of Tal Afar, which followed in the subsequent war in Iraq. This is the place where I guess there is some dispute about his performance.
Well, you know, he has been given credit for the counterinsurgency strategy that ultimately won one of the major battle at Tal Afar, which is called Operation Restoring Rights. There were a number of battles at Tal Afar before and after, but this was the biggest one. And, of course, they were trying to clean out the insurgents there, become an insurgent hotbed, pretty much as every bit as bad as Fallujah, or some say even worse because it was near to the border. And they had cleared it a year before, and within months, the insurgents were back again. And so they decided to try something new and different, something more devastating, if you will, and went in to destroy them once again. And that was in September of 2005. And he's credited with the counterinsurgency strategy that ultimately won that. Although I have to say the insurgents were once again back in a few months later. But regardless, they managed to clear out the town for a little while. And that strategy also was applied later at the during the 2007 surge, where we temporarily pacified pretty much most of Iraq. And so he gets credit as a masterful military strategist, but people who were on the ground there and people who have served with him and know him in the military say that is at best an exaggeration. In fact, the one person I cite here, and this is an anonymous source, I have to say that, but he is a retired two-star general of the Special Forces who says that his organization and others had to go in and rescue McMaster's beleaguered troops barely 2 days into the action, because McMaster had ignored counterinsurgency experts and rushed right in to defeat the enemy without covering his backside and without using the strategy that the counterinsurgency folks had decided was best, which is basically to assault forward, clear the enemy, and then hold the space. He was good at assaulting and maybe clearing some of the enemy, but he was surrounded in the process. They came right in behind him, and they were caught and subject to being surrounded and being overwhelmed.
Well, let me just cut to the chase here, Jim, because this is an important insight into a guy who has proven to be, if not actually a brilliant strategist in the military sense, a pretty profoundly impressive self-promoter and information operations genius, if only in the service of his advancement, which has been rather remarkable, despite the Army apparently wanting to pass him over. Let me ask you, in his present role, Jim Simpson, as the National Security Advisor to President Trump, we've seen a number of very troubling things, and among them, of course, his policy judgment, his recommendation to put 50,000 troops on the ground in Afghanistan. Fortunately, that was beaten back. But most especially, the personnel decisions he's been making in the National Security Council. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, he's systematically removed from the National Security Council all the people who we recognize as genuine experts, and also all of those people who came in with a strong commitment to promoting President Trump's agenda. And K.T. McFarland, Rich Higgins, so many people that these are good, qualified people that he had removed. And at the same time, he has resisted efforts to remove numerous Obama administration holdovers, and now is even trying to bring in more of them.
I'm told there are at least 40 of them as of at least a month ago. And really, this ensures that the president will be surrounded by people who maybe think like McMaster, but don't think like the president. And it, I think, is contributing dramatically to some of the real disconnects between the president's campaign promises and his policies as they're being advanced at the moment. Jim Simpson, we are out of time. I had wanted to talk to you about the red-green axis. That's for another day, because it is very much alive and on the march at the moment. You've studied it closely, and we want to pick your brains about that too. Antifa, the pro-totalitarians is the way I think of them, and the Muslim Brotherhood and more. We'll do that soon. Jim, thank you so much for your time today and for this important piece at bombthrowers.com. Come back to us again soon. Next up, we'll speak with Jessica Vaughn of the Center for Immigration Studies about dreamers. Are we going to see the end of DACA? That and more straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.